Our email inboxes are already overflowing with pointless emails and boring newsletters. Emails can really suck. So is there any point in you sending an email newsletter? That's exactly what I'm discussing with Nikita Morel in this episode of Architecture Business Club, the weekly podcast for solo and small firm architecture practice owners just like you who want to build a profitable, future-proof architecture business that fits around their life. I'm the host, John Clayton. And if you want a business in architecture that gives you more freedom, flexibility and fulfillment, then go to architecturebusinessclub.com/blueprint and download the Architecture Business Blueprint. It's the step-by-step formula to freedom for architects, architectural technologists and architectural designers, and it's absolutely free as a gift from me. Now let's discuss email newsletters. Nikita Morel is a copywriter for architecture professionals. She's also the founder of Architects Word Shop, an online shop dedicated to helping architects with their words. Nikita specializes in helping architecture practices and sole practitioners around the world with their website messaging and uncovering their X factor, the one thing that makes them different from every other architecture firm, so that they can get a steady stream of ridiculously good projects. And she's analyzed 663 architecture websites, and you can see the results on her website. And she's recognized for her unboring email newsletter and slightly controversial LinkedIn posts. To get Nikita's hilarious emails full of free copywriting tips and templates, go to nikitamorel.com/newsletter. Nikita, welcome to Architecture Business Club.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, John.
Oh, it's awesome to have you here. Nikita, before we get stuck into the topic that we were going to talk about today, I've heard that you enjoy weaving. You've got quite an interest in textiles. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, when I'm not weaving words, I really enjoy weaving on my Japanese floor loom. So I've been doing it almost, I think, over 10 years now. And it's just a good way, I guess, to kind of unwind. And, you know, these days we're always like scrolling or typing or that. I feel like when I'm on my loom, it's just kind of like you can zone out. It's quite meditative and I just can't do anything else with my hands, but, you know, weave. So yeah, I create lots of different types of textual artworks. It's a hobby that maybe one day, who knows, might turn into something bigger. But for now, yeah, it's just a nice little hobby to have on the side.
Sounds fun. What's the biggest piece that you've worked on?
I'd say it's a couple of meters. Like normally they're quite, I keep them quite contained, like kind of get them framed in that. But yeah, I'd say like a few meters long, maybe 1.5 or something. It was quite large a couple of years back I did that. But yeah, it takes a long time. So you have to have the patience. It's a good life lesson, weaving. It can be very frustrating as well.
Yeah. My daughter is a huge crochet fan, so she would probably absolutely love it. I'll stick with the guitars, I think. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, look, we're going to talk about email newsletters. So why send email newsletters?
I'll start off with by saying I just feel like email newsletters are such an underrated, marketing tool in the architecture industry. And it disheartens me because I feel like it's just such a great way to stay top of mind. And I always say, you know, when you're sending email newsletters, like a huge part of it is that unlike social media where you're kind of controlled by the algorithm or one day it might just, you know, the platform might collapse or change or who knows, with an email newsletter, you own the list. So the people who are signing up, you're giving, like those people are giving you permission to send the messages directly to their inbox. And so I just feel like it's a very kind of direct one-on-one conversation that you can have with your ideal clients. And, you know, even if they don't read the email or they open it, they're going to see your name, which is something you can't guarantee if you're on LinkedIn or, you know, because of the impressions and that. So I do feel that emails have a better reach than a lot of social posts. And you can like really personalize these emails to create a real connection as well. You know, even with my list, I'm always getting replies from people who, you know, I obviously feel so familiar to them and I don't even know them. So you can really create that strong bond as well. So they're just a few reasons why architects should definitely at least explore or contemplate sending email newsletters.
That's interesting, isn't it, that as practices and architects are probably the first thing to go to would be social media, wouldn't it? If you're thinking of sort of writing any content and putting anything out there, email newsletters probably isn't the first thing that springs to mind for most of them, is it? But it's probably like the most powerful, isn't it?
Well, I really believe it is. And that's like kind of talking from personal experience. Like I think, you know, with the architecture sales cycle, it's so long, it's so complex. There's so many people involved, you know, and someone might be looking for an architect now, or they might be just doing their research. So email newsletters are a great way to kind of stay top of mind. So yeah, as you said, very powerful, very powerful.
Typically, architecture practice owners, architects, they tend to like to make things look pretty. We like beautiful things. Does that same logic apply to email newsletters? Do we need to make them look pretty?
I'm a firm believer, and you know, I might get a lot of slack saying this, but look, your email newsletters do not have to look pretty. And sometimes I feel like that's a huge like roadblock or an obstacle with a lot of practices, is they spend so much time thinking about how the piece is going to look or what images are going to go in there. But there are a lot of different types of emails. So yes, you can have like a basic template with your branding. Then obviously you can go the whole other spectrum and make it fully designed. But another way of doing it is just plain text emails. And so I'm a big fan of that. And I have seen, you know, slowly some architects, you know, at least trialing it out. And plain text emails are basically just that. You're just writing a, you know, newsletter to, you kind of keep one person in mind and you just write to them. And one thing I will say, John, is I think there just needs to be a bit of a mind shift kind of around email newsletters. Anne Hanley, she's a great marketer, and she says you need to focus on the letter part of the newsletter. And so once you kind of shift your mind and you think, I'm not going to be annoying people, because, you know, we all kind of think, oh, like, I'm going to sit there and write a newsletter. Like, is that going to annoy people? I don't want to feel like I'm spamming them or whatever. But once you start to really think of it as a letter to your ideal prospective clients, it just, I don't know, I think it kind of opens up a few more doors and it makes you maybe feel a bit more comfortable and at least exploring the medium.
That's awesome. You mentioned Anne Handley there. I've had the pleasure of hearing a talk at a conference in person, and she was absolutely incredible. So yeah, that was a real treat. Okay, so it sounds like then that if we're thinking about writing an email newsletter, that we don't have to necessarily overthink the visual side of things. We can just concentrate on the words, think about it like writing a letter. It can be quite simple in terms of how we present it visually. So what other things should we think about before writing an email newsletter? Are there a few things that we should think about before we start writing?
Yeah, look, I think the number one thing is, even before you start writing, is to really think, should I be writing an email newsletter? You know, like kind of taking that step back and thinking, you know, obviously if you don't have the resources to know that you're not going to consistently be able to do it, you know, things like that, obviously there's limitations. But I think the first step is to really determine what value your newsletter is going to be providing to your ideal clients and to your business as well. So you need to really think about, why does your newsletter exist? Does it exist to, for example, educate? Does it exist to entertain or to build credibility or to build relationships, like, or something completely different? Like, but what is that value that you're going to be giving your ideal client? And that kind of goes back to this idea of being a newsletter. You know, you're writing it directly to someone. You want to be giving them some sort of value. And then I guess before you sit down and write your email newsletter, you need to be thinking about, yeah, who are you writing it to? Like, what is your goal? Like, why are you sending it? And I think sometimes those deeper questions, you know, you sit down and you just think, oh, I'm just going to tell everyone about this new project that we've just taken on or we're just about to complete. And that's where it can start to get feel a bit same across some of these architecture industry newsletters. You know, there's nothing stopping you like kind of telling a story about your day or telling people about a client or and a question they asked and then answering that question in an email. So could go on about this for days, but yeah, there's a lot of different things you need to think about before writing.
I think a problem with a lot of newsletters, certainly the ones that land in my inbox, a lot of them are pretty vanilla. They're a bit boring. Yeah. There's definitely an art to writing a good email newsletter, for sure.
Yeah. And even just segmenting, you know, that I guess comes a bit later down the piece, but it's like you need to be telling prospective clients different things to what you would be telling past clients. You know, again, it's got a different goal. So that's where kind of email segmentation, where you can segment your list and be writing. You know, I know it feels like a lot of effort, but this is how, you know, if you're going to be pouring yourself into one kind of marketing tactic, then this, I think, is a particularly powerful one.
So that point there about segmenting your list. Mm. So essentially that's that the email that you might write for a prospective client, you're not going to write the same email and send the same message to a past client. So it's thinking about the different groups of people that you might have on your email list in you, within your audience, and tailoring the messaging within the newsletter to suit what stage that they're at and who they are. Is that correct?
Exactly. And, you know, you can segment by that, or you might segment just, for example, you're a multidisciplinary and you've got commercial clients and residential clients, then perhaps you want to segment by the type of client. You know, government clients not going to want to hear the same things as a resi. So it's trying to really, I guess, personalize that kind of email, again, so that it feels like a letter that's being written to you, because it feels like, yeah, they know who they're writing to.
Is that segmentation, separating those groups out, is that quite easy to do in most email platforms?
Yes, and it's getting a lot easier too. So, I mean, for example, I use ActiveCampaign, but I know there's lots of different ones like MailChimp and that out there that you can do very easily these days. I mean, cool. The actual task of, like, you know, you got to be asking the right questions when you get people onto your list, but to actually technically do it, it's easy.
That's good to hear. How often should we send email newsletters?
Yeah, so this is the burning question that I get asked all the time. And look, I usually think of it in the way that you rather be consistent in the quality of email that you're sending out rather than how often you send it out. So you want to be consistently sending good emails rather than not. But as a rule of thumb, I usually say at a minimum, like every 2 weeks, you know, maybe every month if you've got, it depends on kind of the resources. But the key thing is, and this is something a lot of architecture firms do, is they make it like a monthly newsletter, or they title it, you know, our weekly newsletter or whatever. And I think that puts a lot of pressure, because then you feel like you're trying to scramble around and get content. And sometimes that content could be, let's face it, pretty crap, but you just need something to put in the newsletter because, you know, number two was coming out and we promised everyone. And I personally, for my newsletter, you know, I've been sending it for almost like 4 years now, every second week, but sometimes I do it every third week or sometimes a bit more. I think, again, it goes back to that value. So if you've got something that you want to say, then say it. You don't want to leave too long between it, but I think, good rule of thumb, every fortnight or a month, that's it.
So the main thing is that it's the consistency is the main thing.
Exactly. You don't want to go MIA and then just turn up again in someone's inbox. You want to keep that. It's a relationship. You want to keep it going.
Remember, don't forget to download the Architecture Business Blueprint, the step-by-step formula to freedom for architects, architectural technologists, and architectural designers. You can grab the blueprint without any charge at architecturebusinessclub.com/blueprint. And if you're enjoying this episode, then please leave a 5-star review or rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Now back to the show. Yeah, I think picking up on something that we talked about a little bit earlier, that the lead-in time from when a prospective client starts looking into working with an architect or researching different practices, that sort of thing, it can be a really long time. So actually, the idea of having like a regular, consistent newsletter that goes out, even if it is just, you know, maybe once or twice a month, that over time, that's still going to really help to build that trust and authority with your audience, isn't it? And I think that's the thing, that because of that length of time, we're not in an industry where you necessarily have to be like, you know, I know some people, like, there are some people that email every day, you know, that send a daily email. I'm not sure that that's a necessity in our industry, given that length of time that people are considering working with a practice. So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And you mentioned that credibility, and I think another huge factor that email marketing can, or email newsletters can really help with, is likability. you know, at the end of the day, no one really wants to work with a jerk or like someone that's going to be hard to work with. And I feel like email newsletters are the perfect way to kind of let a little bit of your, you know, showcase your personality. And I tell architects all the time, these newsletters don't have to be about architecture. They don't have to be about projects and things you've got going on. They could just be, you know, Spotify playlists, you know, that you're really into, or a beautiful piece of art that you've been inspired by. So you're giving people a little bit of, especially for these smaller practices, these newsletters work really well for, you're giving them an essence of who they're going to be working with. And I think that's really valuable as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. People buy from people. It's a really good point. It's particularly with those smaller practices where, and especially if they're working like B2C, if they're working on a lot of residential design projects with homeowners, then it's a really personal thing, isn't it? Like which architect you choose to work with. It's a really personal thing when it's somebody's own home. So that's really important, isn't it? That you actually kind of, you know, you like each other.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, for the larger firms, it's, I guess, kind of talking about that kind of culture that you've got as well, and what's happening inside the office, just so people can kind of get behind the scenes as well. So yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So to help people put this into practice then, could you share any rules or tips for writing emails? Have you got any other thoughts that you could share with us to help us craft an email newsletter?
Yeah, sure. So I'll keep it quite high level. But in terms of when you're crafting, like writing a newsletter, I always say make sure you use a lot of yous. So write directly to your audience, whoever it may be. So instead of using, you know, our clients, switch around and just say, well, you know, talk like, even sometimes I still do this, but I write D's, you know, and then a name of someone I know. And you delete it out, but you write the email just as if you're writing to that one person. And then you, so just it keeps that, I guess, that connection going. Another thing that's really great is to, you know, always kind of end that email with a question or just something that's going to prompt a reply. I think that's always a good way to keep that conversation going as well. You know, when I send out email newsletters, I get great replies, and then it starts that conversation, and then again, it's that familiarity and you feel like you know that person. And then another thing I would say is like write like you speak. I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of controversy in the copywriter world, whether that's people say, well, you don't want to write like you speak. But in just think of it like that, so that you are keeping it quite conversational. You're writing in your voice, so don't kind of automatically slip into that really professional, I'm writing it from our architecture firm. So keep it quite lighthearted if you can, and if that's on brand with your firm brand. But I think, write conversationally, make it an enjoyable read, because that's going to make you relatable, I guess, at the end of the day. And that's how people start to build trust.
That's some great recommendations. Should we also then try and limit the architect speak, that sometimes some of the big words and confusing architectural terminology that often we see on a lot of architecture websites. I guess we should try and limit those in our email newsletters as well, depending on the audience.
Yeah, I always tell my clients, I say, send the test email to someone who's not an architect. And if they don't understand something, you know, make them tell you what they don't understand, and then you've got to keep revising it until they do. So it's a good way just to kind of get an objective kind of perspective on it as well.
So what about building your email list? Do you have any recommendations of ways to get people onto your email list to actually start receiving the email newsletter?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's lots of different ways, but I think a good one to start with is to put a lead magnet of some sort on your website, and just simply that means just a downloadable. So it could be, a project portfolio or a case study, or it could be just more information, or, you know, it could be something like top 10 questions that you should ask your architect, you know, depending on the type of firm. But yeah, just something that's going to really resonate with your ideal client, and they feel like very compelled to download. And then once they download, in exchange, you're giving them their details. That's one way. You know, at the bottom of your email signature, kind of having a link to your email list there, and you might even just say, hey, you know, we've just started this new newsletter or announced it that way, just kind of in your emails or on your LinkedIn, like in your bio. It's just really kind of planting the seed that you've got an email newsletter list. And, you know, people are busy. So you really have to, I guess, once you start hopefully getting some people replying, even telling them to kind of spread the word as well. But, yeah, look, it's not an easy I'm still, you know, I do this for a living, and it's a tricky thing to build 500 or 5,000 people. It's really about the engagement, and it's really, you just want quality people on your list. It's not really about, you know, building it to a certain size. It's my take on it.
Yeah. So quality over quantity. It's better to have a small list of really engaged email subscribers that really enjoy the content, that open most of those emails and reply to your messages, rather than having a big list where hardly anybody opens the emails and you get no replies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes it feel a bit more achievable for everybody, doesn't it? To get started with email marketing. Nikita, that's been really awesome. I'm glad we focused in on this, because I think it's a really underrated thing that people can do, and it's something that's pretty easy to get started with, really. What would be the main thing that you'd like everyone to take away from the conversation today?
Yeah, I really would like, I know it sounds very general and cliche, but I just really would love more architects to give this a go. And you look, the worst thing is that you try and you don't, but I just feel like a lot of architects, they have a big objection around this. They think it's going to be a lot of work and that, but it can actually be quite enjoyable. So, yeah, I really love to see more architecture newsletters in my inbox that are, you know, filled with stories, that are conversational, and that just don't have that real professional kind of layer on it. So, yes.
Now, that would be great, wouldn't it? Nikita, is there anything else that you wanted to add that we haven't already covered in the conversation?
No, I think that's it. I think we've covered most things. Yeah, I mean, I do have like an email newsletter in 1 hour masterclass on my website, so people can go check that out, where I kind of show people how to write newsletters. But other than that, yeah, give it a go.
Okay, cool. Well, look, before we wrap things up, I have one other question that I wanted to ask. It's nothing to do with email newsletters. It's just like a regular question that I like to ask all of the guests on the show. I love to travel and discover new places. So I wanted to ask you, could you tell me about one of your favourite places and what you love about it? And this can be near or far. So it can be the end of your street or the far side of the world. Is there anywhere that pops into your head?
Oh, gosh, yes. I have been quite a few places. But you know where? So I live in Sydney, Australia, and I would say it's a 45-minute drive, a bit longer, maybe an hour, is up the coast. So it's a place called Copacabana, and it's a beautiful beach. You know, obviously in Sydney we're very spoilt, but it's a beach that I guess holds many childhood memories for me, and now I'm taking my kids up there quite often. So I feel it's very nice to have a place that you love so much that you can just keep coming back to. So, yes, the beach for sure.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Nikita, thanks so much for joining us today. Would you better remind everybody where they can sign up to your fantastic email newsletter?
Yes, sure. So if you just go to www.nikitamorell.com and then /newsletter, you'll land on a page, which I'm sure will get a few laughs. But I will leave it at that, to go check it out. But yeah, you can join my email newsletter there, and every single newsletter of mine has got a funny story or an anecdote, and yeah, so hopefully you'll enjoy.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much. And if people would like to connect with you online, where is the best place for people to connect with you?
Sure. So online, definitely LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so would love to, yeah, send me a connection request. LinkedIn, I post every day, so I'm always hanging around there.
Awesome. Thanks, Nikita.
Thanks so much, John. Thank you so much.
Next time, I'll be talking to business finance fixer Mahmood Reza about money and getting to grips with your numbers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Architecture Business Club. If you liked this episode, think other people might enjoy it, but just want to show your support for the show, then please leave a glowing 5-star review or rating wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean so much to me and makes it easier for new listeners to discover the show. And if you haven't already done so, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss another episode. If you want to connect with me, you can do that on most social media platforms. Just search for @MrJohnClayton. The best place to connect with me online, though, is on LinkedIn. You can find a link to my profile in the show notes. Remember, running your architecture business doesn't have to be hard, and you don't need to do it alone. This is Architecture Business Club.